This week in Fresno, the mayoral race heated up as three members of the city council criticized candidate Jerry Dyer's strategy to address homelessness, and the Fresno Bee gave its endorsement to Dyer's rival, Andrew Janz. To discuss the race, I sat down with GVWire news director Bill McEwen, West Hills College political science professor Nick Guerra, and Fresno Bee columnist Marek Warzowski. Marek, you wrote a column in the Bee about Jerry Dyer's decision to back out of the February 13th candidate forum. That event is co-hosted by Faith in the Valley, Leadership Council for Justice and Accountability, and the Fresno Building Healthy Communities. Tell us about the explanation you got from the Dyer campaign.
Well, the forum was originally scheduled for last week. It was on previous Thursday. And when I texted Jerry for an explanation for why he isn't going to go, he emailed me something back. It was a couple paragraph explanation. First of all, he told me about a conflict for that evening with another forum by a veterans organization that he had committed to. So there was that in his mind. And also, he expressed a little concern. He cited numerous sources to him in the campaign. He was concerned if the forum could be held in an objective and impartial manner. And there was a little bit of concern with perhaps some of the audience members or some of the attendees would not act in a way that, standard conduct, maybe could get a little unruly. He did express a little concern for his safety. That was the two reasons that he gave me, and I printed both those reasons, in my column. So, without an explanation, because that's what he told me.
So, Bill, you moderated a forum for GVWire that had both Janz and Dyer. I mean, what are you hearing? What do you think are the reasons behind Dyer's decision?
So I would give credence to both of those things that were cited to Marek, but I think there's also political consideration as well, and very unlikely that Jerry Dyer would win over very many people in the audience there. And so for him, I think that it's a matter of time, invested time, and he sees other audiences where he's more likely to win votes.
Nick, do you agree?
Yeah, but I also want to say that there's no reason to at this point as well, too, because I think, and I just saw Jerry 2 weeks ago. I talked to him as well about the race, and he's focused on that March election, and I think he's trying to wrap it up at, the 51 or 50%, whatever vote that he needs exactly to get this done with. Now, if he doesn't obviously hit that threshold, then yes, there are going to be debates. There's going to be more frequent debates, just like the last one between Perea and Lee Brand. I don't know. I've lost count on how many debates they had in the final month. So I think Jerry's focused on the March race, and he wants to wrap it up if he can get it done with, because if not, he's going into a very tough battle with Janz because of the presidential election at that point.
Marek, what do you think? Can he wrap it up?
I was thinking that there was a good chance that he could wrap it up, but there was a certain poll and a certain news website named GVWire that came out a couple of weeks ago that showed Janz actually slightly ahead. So that maybe put a little pause into my thinking.
But I question, and no offense to GVWire, I'm a Granville homeowner as well, and I know Darius as well, and my personal thoughts on that one is it's always going to be tougher for Democrats when it comes to the special elections or the midterm elections and all that stuff, because the volume is not there. But now, again, the trends have changed recently, nationally as well. But I see Janz being a bigger threat in the November election than a March election.
McEwen,
I have things to say on this. First okay. of all, it was a plus or minus 4% poll. A lot of thought went into the turnout model. It was very specific for this primary. I would point out that the gold standard of national polls is the NBC Wall Street Journal poll. It's rated A by everyone that goes into polling, and there's plus or minus 4.7%. This was a plus or minus 4% poll, unheard of to be done in this area, done by very professional people. So I would say people that want to dismiss this poll, do so at your peril.
So you think that...
I think there's a lot of denial around here about what's going on. And, you know, I don't want to dominate the conversation, but I've been covering mayoral races in Fresno for 40 years. And this is the most partisan race I've ever seen. And I don't think that the names matter much. They matter more in Jerry Dyer's case because he's the more established name and he can campaign full time. Jans is at a huge disadvantage. He just had a baby. He has to work. He doesn't get a lot of time off. But in our poll, Jans pulled 83% support from Democrats. Dyer, he always talks about he's winning over the other side. His support was 93% Republican. This is a highly partisan race. I think it reflects the Trump effect.
Absolutely. And, you know, we talked to Jans a couple weeks ago. He was very clear. He understands it's all about turnout for him. Nick, nobody has a crystal ball, but what's your prediction?
I'm still predicting Dyer. And again, polls, you know, we can go back to the 2016 presidential election. I mean, every poll in the nation had Hillary Clinton winning it, except I think two. I mean, I think Los Angeles Times was one and somebody else too. So
That's not true. All those polls had both candidates within the margin of error. This is a kind of dialogue that's been pushed forever, and it's simply not true. That was a very close race going in, and if you paid close attention to the polls, both candidates were in the margin of error. In fact, on the Sunday before the election, I wrote the editorial for the Fresno Bee, and the lead was, don't be surprised if Donald Trump wins.
Well,
the other thing is the new voting system, right?
Exactly.
That throws another a wrench into the equation, and we're not exactly sure how the voters around here are going to respond to that. You know, in my mind, it's like, well, it's more confusing to vote now because people are changing a long-time habit. But then if you look at other counties that have enacted this voting system, they've shown increases. Madera County showed a 16% increase. So perhaps that'll happen in Fresno County also. And we all know that the more people that vote, the better it is, you know, generally for the Democratic candidate, even though this is officially a nonpartisan race.
And there are also other things happening, which is all the money that Tom Steyer and Michael Bloomberg are spending in the Valley, and it's all geared towards Super Tuesday. And they have their people on the ground. It's way more than volunteers. It's professional staff, and they're out there registering people, and more of them are going to be Democrat than Republican, and they're going to do ballot harvesting. There's going to be a huge effort by Bloomberg to get people to the polls if they haven't filled out their form. So this goes way beyond being a local race.
And Nick, why don't you tell us what ballot harvesting is?
Well, ballot harvesting, I mean, is basically people coming around and collecting your ballots on the promise that, hey, we'll take your ballots for you and we'll go drop it off at the precinct or the polling stations and whatnot for you. It's people coming to you also to say, hey, did you fill out your ballot yet? Why don't you fill it out real quick and I'll take it and go take to the station for you. I mean, it's like the customer service of balloting, and it's legal in California, but then there's other states that it's not legal. And, I mean, people have actually, you know, faced punishment of the law for doing that in North Carolina. I don't even think that's an equal standard, and I think the courts are going to decide, for federal side at least, whether ballot harvesting is legal or not. It's a huge, huge, huge shift in politics and the voting process. And coming back to the Dyer situation, if Dyer's going to win, he has to wrap it up in March, because coming into November, when you'll see that Bloomberg and all that effect that you're talking about with Tom Steyer in play, that I don't know what's going to happen in November. If Dyer's going to wrap it, it's going to wrap it in March, or you're right. I think the polls at that point will have a bigger sway towards Jans, and I'm still standing with that. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. If you're just joining us, you're listening to Valley Edition. We're talking about the Fresno mayoral race. Merrick, there was a lot of news this week regarding the race. Jans received a $20,000 donation from Miguel Arias. He got an endorsement from the Fresno Bee. And really, homelessness took center stage as a issue that perhaps Jans believes Dyer is vulnerable. Do you think that's a winning strategy?
I mean, I think it is a winning strategy, although I didn't, you know, I listened, I wasn't in attendance for each editorial board meeting that we had with Jans and Dyer, but I watched the video of it. And I mean, yes, there are differences in their homeless policies, but they're not strikingly different. I think that they both, are kind of espousing the same philosophy and some of the same views. Same with the forum that Bill hosted. I didn't think that their answers were decidedly different. I don't know if either side would agree with me, but when I hear it, that's what I hear to my eyes. I'm hearing subtle differences, but not major policy differences.
Bill.
So Andrew Jans is a Blue Dog Democrat. When he's in front of a crowd, he plays a progressive. I mean, I covered him in the congressional race. I've gotten to know him quite well. He is a conservative Democrat. A lot of his support comes from the very progressive wing of the Democratic Party. So he has to always kind of balance that. Jerry Dyer, we know where he stands. In some regards, I would say that Jerry's a lot more progressive than the way his critics portray him. Jerry Dyer is a formidable candidate in this race. What interests me about this race is, again, it's a mechanical thing, and that's the fact that Jerry's out there campaigning all the time, extremely busy, shaking hands, making lots of appearances, even though he's not going to that forum. And Jans is relying on surrogates. So you think about it. It's an independent expenditure group that's running the social media ads that go very hot. Hard after Dyer, particularly about his past. That group's largely funded by the Arambula family. And then what we had yesterday, when I saw it, I said, hey, the mayor's race has finally started, because you had Miguel Arias out there, and I mean, he had been neutral. He's not neutral anymore. And he was really going after Jerry Dyer and saying very incendiary things. And Dyer responded in kind. So, again, I can't think of a Fresno mayor's race where one of the major candidates has been represented nearly all the time by surrogates, and that's what's happening with Jans.
So we just have a few more minutes before we wrap up, but I want to switch gears and talk about the Fresno City Council race. Merrick, you wrote a column about the District 4.
It's such an interesting race, right? Because it's, I've sat down with, both Tyler Maxwell and Nathan Alonzo. I found them to be very intelligent, very dedicated, very motivated, and the exact type of people that we want, young people engaged in politics and trying to make a difference. And here are these two young men that I think are both coming at it for really good reasons and genuine reasons. And yet, if you look at their bases of support, it couldn't be more disparate. And it's, it's the traditional old Fresno political power brokers who have kind of ruled this town for a long time on one side, and the progressives on the other side, who have been gaining numbers and, voter registration advantages. And it's just a very fascinating race. It'll be very interesting to see, what happens. We know 2 years ago, the establishment candidates, they were both soundly defeated despite pretty large fundraising, advantages.
And depending on who wins, that could really shape the
idea. It certainly could, and coupled with who will be the next mayor.
Right. So we could potentially see a scenario in which the kind of gridlock that's happening in Washington is happening in Fresno. We have a very progressive-leaning city council, but a conservative mayor. Nick, do you think that's a fair assessment?
100%. Jerry Dyer's future is attached to Nathan Alonzo, and vice versa, with Jan's future being attached to Maxwell. Both young candidates, and it's that old school, new school type blood. They are really similar in a lot of their views, though, that they're both addressing the homeless issue. And I live in their district, actually, so I've seen both of them on the streets. I know Nathan Alonzo very well. He does sometimes kind of I disagree sometimes with his strategy of like, oh yeah, I represent big money and all that stuff. And he says it openly. And I don't know if that's a good thing or not in today's politics. Whereas Tyler is trying to be the more grassroots candidate and saying, hey, I'm not taking corporate money. I'm going for the average Joe here. So very interesting campaign strategies in terms of their money.
And Bill, I'd like to close with your thoughts on that race.
So I'd be very careful with this. I think that Nathan, when you analyze his positions, he's not a traditional Republican. He's more towards the center. And Tyler Maxwell. Yes, he's a progressive. Yes, he works for Nelson Esparza. But you got to remember, they represent their district. And so to say they're going to vote one way or another all the time, it's just not going to happen. That doesn't happen at the city council level. They're going to try and do what's best for their district. And the other thing I would point out is that, so you have Mike Carbasi, he's a conservative Democrat. Luis Chavez, I mean, people say he's part of this progressive wing. Are you kidding me? He's very conservative. So it'll be a very interesting split, and it will depend on the issue.
Well, there's lots of change happening for the city of Fresno. I really appreciate you all taking the time to break it down for us. So thanks for being here.
Thank you, Kathleen.
Thank you.
Thank you, guys.